Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
This Our Mother of the Eucharist production is made possible by you. If you would like to support us by donating, click the Give Online tab at the top of our website, ourmotheroftheeucharist.org. Thank you and God bless you. Welcome to Shades of Blue. All that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful, all that is holy, all that is pure, all that is virtuous, all that is merry. This is Out of the Blue, Episode 2, Freedom in Overcoming Masturbation, Part 2, with Sister Carista Maria.
Well, welcome everyone, and it's Part 2 of our sharing on masturbation and other sexual impurities. For anyone who's struggling with that, I have the honor once again to be interviewing this special sister, religious sister friend of mine, who I've walked with in the past. She has offered to share more about her testimony and how she was delivered and set free from the sexual sin that she fell into, and she will remain anonymous. So,
well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lola Marie. I just, what's been stirring in my heart lately is to really share with others. I didn't share this part in the first part of our interview, but I think it's really appropriate to be able to share it now. And I want to let everyone know out there, never, ever, ever give up. If you're in the deepest, darkest place right now and in your sexuality and your sins of impurity, I just want you to know that there is freedom. I didn't think that there could be, and there is. I'm just letting you know, because I suffered with it for many, many, many years with masturbation, thinking that there was no remedy. But brothers and sisters, there is a remedy. And I will share with you some tools that were given to me in order to have this remedy and to be set free. And then I'll tell you the outcome, because brothers and sisters, it is so awesome and so worth it. So I met Sister Lola Marie several years ago, and I invited her over to where I was. And I had heard that she was into inner healing and so forth. And I kind of was drawn to her being so open and vulnerable herself in different areas of her life. And so I was drawn to that. And so she and I went for a walk in this park, and I was supposed to talk to her about other things, but it ended up where literally it's like the Lord was knocking on my heart, and he said, open up to her what you have closed off. Open up to her what you've closed off. And I was like, oh, no, 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 Lord. I said, there's no way that I can do that. So again, we just kept walking, and so I heard it again in the stillness of my heart. The Lord said, open to her what you've closed off. You can trust her. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, Lord. So I sat her down. I sat Sister Lola Marie down. I said, I have something to share with you. Now, unbeknownst to me, she shared with me later that she had just been sensing that I had something to share. She could just see the longing in my heart.
And that I was just waiting.
And she was just waiting. And so, but I thought, as I shared this with her, I thought, oh man, she is just going to be like totally like turned off by me and totally want to get away from here and so forth. Because that's the way I felt about myself. I was so ashamed of myself, you know, and it was something, it was a dark secret that I just wanted to keep tucked away neatly somewhere. And that was only said in the confessional, and definitely that should be a place where it's shared. But but I had some bad experiences in the confessional as well, unfortunately, with priests saying that it was okay and it's normal. And anyway, we touched a little bit on that on the first part, which is really not good for the other person, you know, especially when they're struggling with it. For them to hear that, it kind of just keeps them in a hole. So anyway, so I started sharing with Sister Little Marie what my struggle was. And oh my gosh, it was so hard for me to share with another sister what was going on with me and how many years I have been struggling with masturbation. And I couldn't even say the word. The word was just so icky to me and horrible. I couldn't even get the word out.
Did I actually say it?
I think, Sister, you actually said it for me because I couldn't say it. And it just, I don't know, you know, I had buried it deep down, you know. And so when I shared with her my struggles since childhood, I began to just weep. I just cried and cried. And I just remember she just listened. She took it all in and she just listened. And she looked at me and she said, I think that you're so beautiful, and can I give you a hug? And I was like, sure. And when she hugged me, I felt like it was Jesus hugging me. And I cried even more. And she said, I want you to know, first of all, I want to thank you for sharing so vulnerably with me. I want to thank you for that. And I want you to know that this is a very sacred moment. And I'm just letting you know that, and I thank you.
And just adding to that, I just want to confirm you in that, because I really had such a sense of Christ's great, great love for you and our Heavenly Mother's great love for you. I just sensed Jesus is drawn to us in our misery and in our brokenness. And Mary is as well. Our Heavenly Father is. And they were giving me a little taste of their heart just melting before you with such love.
Well, praise God, you know, because I was in a spot where I really needed that, because it was like, as a religious, I felt like such a failure. I felt like that I was not living to the expectations of the Trinity, you know, mm-hmm. and of the Blessed Mother. And I felt like she was just so far from me. And I was just like feeling so unworthy to be in the presence of Our Lady. And I had a head knowledge of her, but I didn't have a relationship with her because I didn't think she'd want one with me in the spot that I was in. And also, because of my own wounds, growing up with a mother who had a lot of wounds as well. And she kind of, you know, had a demanding spirit. And I thought that maybe that's how Mary was too. And that Mary was expecting me to be perfect. And see, I felt like I could never please my own mother. So I thought for sure I'd never be able to please the Blessed Mother. There's no way, you know, and now I have found otherwise. So I just wanted to share that as I was getting this all out to Sister Little Marie, and she was so gracious to me, and she didn't try to like fix me, or she wasn't like at me, you know, preaching to me or anything. She just graciously listened to me, let me get it out. And then she said something. She gave me this $65,000 question. She said, I have something to ask you. She says, so you have an hour of adoration at least every day, right? And you have been for many, many years. And I said, oh, yeah, definitely. She says, have you shared this with Jesus? Have you like just been raw and real with him and just shared this with him before the Blessed Sacrament? And I went, no. I said, oh my goodness. I said, I never thought about that, but no, I have not. Every time I went in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I pushed that completely down. That was done with. That was over. I confess it. It's done. I'm not even going to bring it up to Jesus because I just brought it up in the confession. And so I'm done, you know? And what does that say, brothers and sisters? I mean, that is like, you know, Lilla Marie was telling me, you know, Jesus is desiring to enter into your poopy scoop. He's desiring to go into the places that you're most ashamed of. You can be real with him and raw with him. He is wanting to go and longing to go into those areas with you.
And you know, you're not alone in this. I mean, I used to be that way as a Catholic. I had no idea that our Lord wanted me to just share everything of my heart. I early on in my life had really repressed a lot, but through the years grew in that. But not only me, I think it's something with many, many Catholics that we just haven't been formed in this, that our Lord is wanting us to come to him as we are and to share who we really are with him. This is when prayer becomes exciting. This is when prayer becomes meaningful. And that's why a lot of people think prayer is boring. And just a little added note there, like a lot of times when people will say, how can you want to pray so many hours a day? And this is exactly why, because my prayer life is so different now. I'm in relationship. And so that's what Jesus was longing for from you.
Oh, yes. He was longing for me to go into that deeper relationship, which I had a lot of training and teaching in my religious life. I mean, we had wonderful speakers that would come and teach us all kind of spirituality and just beautiful. I mean, the virtues and so forth. And they taught us about all sorts of things.
You were very Marian Eucharistic.
Right.
On a certain degree, to the certain level. Yes.
Right. And so, I mean, we had a lot of training in that area, but we really didn't have the tools to be able to overcome, you know, these certain areas in our life, in our brokenness. And I think it's so, so important, especially for religious communities, to have this in place. But when you, Sister Lilla Marie, spoke to me about journaling before the Lord and being real with him and just journaling with him everything that I'm feeling and that I'm going through, because, I mean, even times now, people, I don't want you to get scandalized by this, but there were times, and I know this happens to other people because they've shared this with me as well, but there were times that stirrings would happen to me while I was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Well, I mean, think about it. The devil doesn't leave us alone when we're there. He's all the more wanting us to get distracted because we're before God.
Exactly. Yeah, and people, they get really scared and ashamed to mention anything about this happening to them before the Blessed Sacrament, obviously, because, you know, you like, I'm in the presence of God. You know, what is wrong with me, you know?
Being sexually tempted. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You immediately, the devil really makes heyday out of us, you know, and I would feel so ashamed and so, but that is the exact, God was trying to tell me the whole time, you know what? Okay, let me just share with you this. This is what I do now, if anything stirs in my heart. But God has totally set me free from those inclinations to masturbation. But if anything stirs in my heart, you know, before our Lord, like if I'm feeling jealous or I'm feeling insecure or I'm feeling any kind of, and if anybody feels any impurity, This is what I do now. I go before our Lord, raw and real, and I go, oh, Lord, I'm feeling jealous right now. What's going on? What's really stirring in my heart? What am I longing for, and why am I jealous, or why am I lonely, or why am I insecure? What is going on? And then I just remain quiet and let our Lord speak truths to me, to my heart. and let him be for me what I am longing for another to be for me. I allow him, and this is key, brothers and sisters. This is what it is. This is what we were talking about with relationship. Anytime we have distractions or impurity or anything like that while we're in prayer or before our Eucharistic Lord or anytime, this is an occasion where the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, will you let me in? Just like, you know, you see that picture. I don't know if you've seen that holy card where you see Jesus knocking on the door and there's no doorknob on it. It's because we have to open it up from within and we have to let him in. And so he is such a gentleman. He's not going to force himself through that door. He is waiting for us to invite him in to what we're most ashamed of and what's ailing us. You know, and he just wants to come in and dine with us and just be with us and set us free. And when we invite Jesus in, the enemy can't stay. He can't stay because light itself has walked through the door and darkness scatters. And so that's what I do now, brothers and sisters, whenever I have any kind of temptations or anything that is stirring in my heart that is disordered. Now I go to our Lord. But when I was being set free of the many, 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 many years of the masturbation, it was a very difficult thing to get out of because, as you know, we become so sensitive in that area that so many things can just set you off. And so you think there is no hope and you think, oh, this is normal because this is, you know, I'm very sensitive.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because it's true, because the body, the nerves get so sensitive to it. Even the Catholic Church speaks of this, that if someone has been so immersed in the sexual sin or sexual acts for so long, then they could be less culpable. This isn't to excuse anyone, but in the sense that it's harder to get out of it when once, if you have, your body is so sensitive in that area.
Oh yes, absolutely. I can vouch for that. And the thing is, you feel so helpless and you feel like, okay, there's probably no chance of me ever getting out of this. I'm telling you, the sacrament of confession was my salvation because I would go to our Lord in confession every chance I got, you know, anytime that I fell into that sin. And so I know that that is what protected me from going into deeper sin. And brothers and sisters, we all know that with this sin is fantasies. And we know that a lot of times we say to ourselves, oh, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, you are hurting yourself and you're hurting our Lord. And then what happens is when those fantasies become a reality, then you are hurting others as well. And what was it you shared with me earlier about that too, sister?
Well, I was saying, whatever we do, whether people see it or not, even if we're a closet alcoholic or a closet overeater or a closet masturbator or, you know, sexual impurity, kind of pornography or anything, even if we think we're by ourselves in it all, it's affecting everyone. Everything that we do in life, for the good or the bad, affects everyone else, either for the good or the bad. And I mean, we can go all the way back to Adam and Eve and see this reality, because they sinned. They disobeyed God. We didn't see it back then. No one else, none of us saw it. And yet we all fell because of it.
Right. And I want to share with everyone out there, too, as I was speaking about, there are fantasies involved with this as well. Okay, that's another trick of the enemy, too, because he gets a hold of you in ways that you could never imagine, because he's the master manipulator and the master liar. And I rationalized myself to death, you know, many, many times. And he will try to take things and make them where it's like you feel like, okay, let's go a step further. You know, let's try to make these fantasies a reality. But then there's a part of you that's like, oh, no, 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 no. You know, the spiritual side of you is like saying, no, this is totally against God's will. And then you have the
your conscience.
Your conscience. And then you have the other side, the enemy, telling you, you know, oh, come on, it's not going to, that's just a lie. Come on, just take a bite of this apple. Come on. You know, you're going to experience what it is to really be free, you
right,
know,
right,
it's and awesome. Really be able to freely express your sexuality and who you are.
But in
what
fact,
a lie.
You're really being bound up because,
oh, yeah,
you're being enslaved to your sexuality and your flesh.
Oh, absolutely. You can get so messed up in your mind and in your psyche. I really feel sorry for so many out there, the transgenders who are like, who am I? You know, am I a girl? Am I a guy? Am I, you know, what is going on? You know, and that is such, that is the definitely, that's the goal of the enemy, to get us to that point to where we lose our identity and who we are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't make mistakes. He created me female, and I am so, so blessed and so happy about my femininity. Before, I used to have a hard time with it, and I just struggled with who I was, you know. But God, you know, now that I've been healed and I see the Blessed Mother in a totally different way, I have such a deep relationship with her now, and I want to grow in it even more. She's my mother. But this is what I really want to convey to all of you out there, is that when you get set free from this, brothers and sisters, it is so awesome. It is so freeing. I felt like a little child again. It was like, I mean, Sister Lilla Marie knows me, and I just felt like this little kid. I felt like so free and just so excited, and it was like a new life for me. And I was unbound from all my selfishness and my pridefulness, because along with the sins of impurity, you can get very selfish and very prideful. And God really set me free from those as well. Do I struggle? Of course, you know, the enemy's always trying to tempt us in different ways, but not like I was.
And if you think about it, you feel so free because before, when we have habitual sin or things that we're in bondage to and not free, enslaved to, the enemy, demons become attached.
Oh, yeah.
Because these are areas in our hearts and our lives that we have not invited Christ and his redeeming graces in. And so earlier you were telling me, you know, you would be in prayer and you couldn't pray at all like you pray now.
Right.
It was limited. And you think about it, because when we have demons attached to us, they're always at us. They're weighing us down. They're distracting us from God and from going deeper in the graces of baptism.
Right. I mean, it was a point, you know, where I would just, when I went to adoration, I would try to read from the Bible. I would try to, you know, have different kind of meditations and so forth. But it's more than that, brothers and sisters. It's relationship. I can't stress that enough, that God loves you so tenderly, and he wants to enter into every part of who you are. He wants to enter into your sexuality. And that's what I want everyone.
And redeem it.
You know, he wants to redeem it. And this is an area that many people are just not, they're not getting it. You know, they're not getting it. And so many of our young people are falling into these sexual sins. I mean, how many guys do we know who fall into the sin of masturbation, and they and everyone acts as if it's okay, that it's okay, you know, for them to do that.
I mean, and I think last broadcast I shared, it's so easy to understand why people do, because there's such a rampant spirit of lust everywhere.
Right.
And all of media, almost all of media, unless it's EWTN or another holy station or radio, so much of it has the spirit of lust behind it. So many billboards that see, just so much of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotten to such a point to where you actually see people, they are so banal now in everything that they see and that they do, that they will take any kind of images that they see and make it where they will see a sexual part or genital of somebody of some sort. And you see this happening all the time.
Well, I mean, even the other day I was looking at YouTube. I was looking something up on YouTube, and they had this advertisement of, I don't know, a movie or something playing at the top of it that I didn't even go into, but it was, you know how it plays sometimes on your computer, it just does. And it happened to just be a sexual scene. They didn't show the actual genitals, but they showed everything, but there was such a spirit of lust there. And I was saying, how can you two be doing this? It's like they're totally invading me and everyone else. I mean, I'm not saying whose fault it was, whether they knew this was going to be playing or not, but that is rampant everywhere, and it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah. The enemy is really having heyday with our people, all ages. You know, he's really having heyday with us. It used to be where we'd always say the youth. No, this is happening to adults. This is happening everywhere. We're seeing husbands and wives breaking up, divorcing because of pornography. And it's just everywhere. It's so available. It's at your fingertips. It's there. So many children now, they have a cell phone, and it's so easy for them to get access to any kind of sexual thing or pornography in any way, even if it's, they say, soft porn. No, I mean, it's all porn.
And I think this isn't to discourage us in our Christian walk at all, because certainly our Lord has won the victory and Mary's heart will triumph, but it just always reminds us to really be on our knees in prayer, to be praying the rosary daily, to be having hours of adoration, at least weekly, but even daily if you can, because Bishop Fulton Sheen encouraged everyone to do a daily holy hour.
Yes, and he actually encouraged all priests to do that too.
Because sometimes, especially
priests, because priests can get caught up in so many busy things. You know, because they're doing a lot of their pastoral work, and they can lose time and awareness of, hey, I need to really spend an hour before my Eucharistic Lord in order to be able to have the strength to do all these things.
Right.
And priests are being tempted in every way as well and bombarded as well.
You know, this was reminding me of this guy who had been caught up in Satan worship and everything. And then he had a conversion. He started to go to adoration 8 hours a day, oftentimes. And then he was talking to this exorcist priest after a little while of this. And the priest, he said, because he said, do I need to get deliverance? And the priest said, you've been getting your deliverance when you're in adoration. He said, Satan can't stay. He can't stay if you're being before our Lord that long. He was being so cleansed just by being in adoration. And you know, that's what exorcists will say, more than even having them pray with you. If you can enter into the sacraments, the sacramental life in a real and deep way, that brings so much deliverance just in itself.
Right. And the beauty of it is when you know, God is calling it, prayer is communion. It's communication. And it's communicating with God. It's not just, okay, let me get all my prayers in and get this all in just in case there is, you know, a hell, at least I have this backup, you know, or let me just get all my prayers in because I have to get all these in, get my little duckies in a row, and I have to get all this in. No, God is wanting.
It's prayer from the heart.
It's prayer from the heart. It's prayer from the heart. It's relationship. It's like when you're with a dear friend, if you're like, okay, let me just get all my little duckies in a row here first before I can even really communicate with you. I mean, what kind of friendship would that be? I mean, it wouldn't last very long. And the Lord is desiring for us to listen as well as speak to Him. And I think that we're living in a culture that doesn't know how to listen anymore. And I think that's very important.
Yes. And I think, did you have some more to share about the fantasy? Were you going to share?
That's funny that you said that because I was going to share with you, when we have these, the fantasies that are attached to any kind of sexual sins, I do remember something very powerful that happened to me, and I share this for other brother priests as well, that I went to a specific priest to confession, and he literally...
And this was one who had been trained in inner healing. This was later after you had already been starting to be set free.
Right, yes. Right. Thank you for clarifying that. but anyway, so I went to this priest, and he says, wait a minute, as I was, you know, speaking to him of what I had been suffering for so many years, he says, can I ask you a question? Have you ever invited Jesus and Mary into your fantasies? And I said, what? And he says, have you ever invited Jesus and Mary into your fantasies? I said, no way. And he says, well, trust me. He says, we're going to do something now. He says, I want you to go back to one of the times. And I had been set free, so it had been a while. And he said, I want you to enter into one of those fantasies. I said, no way. I'm not going back there. You know, I'm not going back to one of those fantasies. And he says, trust me. I want you to enter into that fantasy. And I said, oh, dear Lord. So I said, okay. So I did. And he said, okay, now I want you to invite Jesus in. And I mean, I was just like in shock, I think, you know, and I invited Jesus in, and I closed my eyes, and I was imagining Jesus coming in, you know. And the priest says, so what are you experiencing now? And I said, well, as soon as Jesus walked in the door, it was gone, you know, the fantasies. And the priest said, yep, that's exactly, you know, what. And he says, now I want you to invite Mary in. I want you to go to another fantasy and invite Our Lady in. And so I did the same thing, and boom, gone, you know. It was so healing for me because it was like going to the core of it all. You know, things that we are most afraid to speak of and most ashamed to talk about. It was like going to the core. Now, this is something very sensitive, especially for a nun and or a priest or a brother, consecrated religious, you know, especially.
But there's so many that suffer with this.
Exactly.
So many do suffer with sexual sin because they don't have the tools.
Right. And I think it is so important because knowing that, you know, Sister Lilla Marie had been in inner healing for many, many years in theology of the body, that was absolutely key for me as well, brothers and sisters, to receive that healing that I needed because we're all broken. We all have mother wounds, father wounds, and sibling wounds, whatever.
Right.
We just have them, and we're broken people.
And I think what you're speaking of with the theology of the body, I've been wanting to make sure we get this in, is John Paul II. I mean, he's the one that's confronting this problem among many Catholics of dualism and a lack of integration in the human and spiritual. And so that is so important.
Yeah, because it's like we have, he said that we have angelism and what was the other one he said?
You either tend toward angelism or animalism.
Animalism,
angelism, spirit good, body bad, and you push down your humanity, which we had both done in our past. And then there's animalism, if it feels good, to do it. And it's like, no, you need to be transformed from within, as St. Paul says.
Right, right. We need to, God really is calling us to transcend from the natural to the supernatural. That's basically what it is. He wants us to transcend from the natural to the supernatural. And that's key. That is important.
And as you speak of fantasy, you know, because it comes from our imagination that we enter into that.
Right.
But what we're created with an imagination that we can encounter God, exactly what you're saying, that we can exercise our spiritual senses.
Right.
And that's why, for you and I both, the rosary has been so powerful.
Oh, my gosh,
because we
yes.
exercise our spiritual senses. Yeah. We open our imagination for the good. We encounter Jesus. We encounter the Father. We encounter Mary. We enter into the mystery that we're praying of the rosary. Or Holy Mass or anything.
I'm really glad you brought that up because the rosary in the past for me was really more mechanical. And I didn't want it to be mechanical. It's not like I started praying it and said, okay, I'm going to pray a mechanical rosary. No, it just seemed that way. You know, after I was done, it just seemed like, okay, I got my rosary and I'm good. You know,
you were doing your best.
Yeah, but it's more than that. you all. It's more than that. It's like what Sister Lilla Marie was sharing. We can enter into the mysteries. Like we can actually, because God created our imagination to be used in this way, not for thinking about all kind of crazy stuff, because we got imaginations, everybody, but we misuse them. And the Lord actually wants you to go there to Calvary. He wants you to experience his agony in the garden. His scourging at the
cross, yes.
Right.
All of the main devotions aren't meant to be lip service.
No.
They're not meant to be just this ritual that we get in, which is why a lot of people leave the Catholic Church, because they don't have this in place, the praying from the heart and truly entering in this relationship.
Right. I mean, you know, the first time I was told by a very holy nun, she mentioned that you can go to Jesus' agony in the garden and you can sit with him and you can say, Jesus, I am so sorry. And he saw that then in the present moment as you're speaking it. He saw that then.
Yes,
so you were consoling
exactly,
him
exactly.
Because he's inside of time and outside of time. So it's like,
right.
Yeah.
Because of Christ's hypostatic union, because he's fully human and fully divine, every moment of Christ's life on earth was both inside of time and outside of time. And because of that, we can go there, literally.
Right. That's exciting.
That is exciting. And that's why, like you're saying, Christ saw us at the foot of the cross when we pray the fifth decade of the Sorrowful Mysteries.
Right.
When we're entering
See, this
in.
Is when it comes alive, brothers and sisters. This is when it comes alive.
You know? It's just so powerful. Christ at the resurrection. We encounter him at the resurrection.
Right.
Back then,
he wants
now.
Us there. He wants us to go there. I see myself, you know, at the resurrection. I see myself like, you know, in the scriptures, it talks about how St. John and Peter were running to the tomb. Sometimes I see myself running to the tomb in excitement because I'm like trying to see what happened. You know,
yeah.
And a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, that's crazy. You know, no, it's not. It's like God is wanting us to enter into this, brothers and sisters. This is reality. This is real reality.
And Sister Mary Claire and I often share that we haven't been to the Holy Land physically, but we go every day.
Right.
We're trying to pray four rosaries a day. So we go to Bethlehem every day. We encounter the Christ child.
Amen. And you know,
in all of the mysteries, we encounter Jesus and others in all of the mysteries.
Right. And in the conclusion of all this, I would like to just share with you that, you know, what we were just sharing with you, how exciting it is to really enter into the mysteries and so forth, is I want to encourage all of you out there who have been struggling with masturbation, who have been struggling with impurity of any kind, I want you to know that on the other side, it is awesome. It is so awesome and exciting because I am not, it's like now when I pray, it's like I feel so set free because before I was praying in such bondage and selfishness and it wasn't really bearing fruit, I don't think. Maybe a little, but I don't think very much, you know.
Had to walk on through to the other side.
I had to walk on through to the other side. It's not like my whole life was a waste. No, not. God uses everything, you know. And and it's not like I was like this unkind person or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that in the depths of who I was, it was like God was really desiring to heal me in the core of who I was. Yeah.
And so, I think a lot of people, they're afraid or they don't want to go to their past that is ugly or that is they're ashamed of, especially when they're, you know, they're having this conversion. They say, okay, well, God alone, that's all I need now. But he's saying, okay, let's go together. Let's walk through your life. Invite me into all of it so that I can bring my redeeming graces into all of it.
And I have to say, you know, Sister Lilla Marie, just knowing you, it's very healing for another person when they experience an unconditional love from another, you know, because it really sets them free because they feel like, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have to have it all together. You know, I don't have to be perfect in order for this person to like me. So people that have been really steeped in inner healing and so forth, they know this, and they know how we're all broken and we're all in need of healing and redeeming graces, especially living in this broken world and the way that we are coming from imperfect parents.
And you know what you're talking about. That's what we're called to as Catholics. That's what parishes are meant to be. A place where you can go and love one another and encourage one another, not have an at you faith with one another. Oh, you need to get better. I need to fix you. But know that we won't judge one another. We're helping one another, but we need the tools like you received. We need that in place so that we can all be moving forward together.
And right now, at this conclusion, I would like to make a little plug for someone, for a group that I think has helped so many people. Yeah. And that's JP2 Healing Center. If you would to go to jp2healingcenter.org and look at the retreats that they give and the conferences they give, Healing the Whole Person, Restoring the Glory, Dr. Bob Schutz and his team are doing an excellent job.
Yes.
They're in Tallahassee, Florida. If you can ever attend one of those conferences, it's worth every single penny because it's your soul.
Amen. Well, thank you, sister, for sharing as you have, and it's good for us to connect again.
Thank you so much, Sister Lilla Marie. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Out of the Blue. Visit us on ourmotheroftheeucharist.org to donate and for more information about our ministries.